Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the time traveler.
Well, you know, Matt, well, isn't that Matt? Remember that picture you sent? That time, that dude that looks like Matt? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, man. I remember it popped up on my timeline every once in a while.
Memory. Mark, I never did see your reaction to
well,
that.
Well, I always knew there was something suspicious about that motherfucker, you know? It's like time traveler, Illuminati or some shit. You.
I mean, he was a spitting image of Matt, man. It was uncanny.
Even Jackie was like, that looks like you.
And,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's possible, I guess. You never know. I mean,
I guess so. I just don't know yet. Because I haven't been in that point in this timeline to where I have to go back.
It could be 200 years from now, and you just don't know. And they do some sort of memory wipe where they send you back in time and you start a new life and you've got four boys and Jackie now and you don't even know that you're from the fucking future. You know? Yeah, future shit.
Hey, Matt, have your family seen that photo?
I think my sister has. Jackie? I want to say my sister has, yeah.
What did she say?
She just laughed. She just laughed, reacted. But I never asked her really about it. I only really talked to Jackie about it, and she's like, "Dude, that looks just like you."
Yeah. Oh, I can That's do a crazy. Search. Oh, here it is.
You could be for the future, and you've had Poontang in like three different centuries. You don't even know it.
Like Captain Kirk, but just with the timeline instead of different.
God damn, my voice continues to sound like. I came from a Screamcore concert or something, but I really don't know what the fuck's going on with my voice. I blame the mask.
I think you're secretly a metal singer. After this, you go out to like the blues, House of Blues, Houston. You sing local, you sing lead vocals for a metalcore band.
Only in my dreams. Maybe that's the problem. I'm dreaming it and it's becoming real. So you know, interesting week in the world is, you know, but we're not gonna get heavy into that stuff. We're just gonna podcast and take your mind off of things that are going on across the country and the rest of the world. Getting out of Halloween now, talking some.
I'm sad.
No, you're not. We got some good movies coming up leading up to Christmas. Some movies that have anniversaries and things like that. And it should be a pretty fun ride the rest of 2020. And at least on the podcast anyway. Maybe not other things, but yeah. But it's all good. So how are you guys?
Good.
I'm good.
Yeah. Can't complain.
No.
You know?
Nope.
I see Long still working on his Al Leong haircut. You know, he's just gonna let it keep growing.
Yeah.
And Matt's continuing to look like that fucker from Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan.
So. I'm getting vibes.
No, not really.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. No.
Really?
Nah, never
none,
did it
none
for
of their
me.
Songs?
Yeah. Never liked
really?
It.
Really?
Weird. Man, for me, 1979 is one of my favorites.
Shut the fuck up, Matt.
Because I was born in 1979.
Nope, that band never did it for me. Billy Corgan's an asshole, too. He always liked to talk shit about a lot of his constituents and thinking he was better than them. And that's why a lot of his constituents don't like him either. So fuck him. So, yeah.
I heard he's mellowed out,
he's
though.
He's a punk-ass bitch. If I saw him in the street, I'd punch him in the face.
That's why you're always mean to Matt?
I'm just an asshole.
Like that Dennis Leary song. Matt.
I just have to keep Matt. It's the older brother syndrome. Like I have to keep Matt in line so he doesn't fuck up.
You know?
I mean,
that's okay. That's okay, Matt. I pick on Mark.
That's all right.
For you on your
I owe Matt. That's true. Dude, Matt was kind of a you dick to me this week, but you know, yes. Oh, because yeah. I asked him a simple question about work.
What did he do?
He's like, I'm on vacation, motherfucker. You can text this number, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like I wasn't asking him to call anybody. Wasn't asking him to, I just asked a simple question. I was like, whoa, you just threw your best friend off the fucking roof, said, fuck you. I was like, damn. My feelings were actually hurt. So I owe Matt a little bit of,
dang, man.
I owe Matt a little That's bit of a shot there. Blooded. So, yeah.
It's okay. I'll come by and
you touch me and I'm gonna hit you. But oh god no.
He'll make it up.
So yeah.
No.
It's funny, it's like Mark, you didn't respond when I said that 2020 was not kind to both of your scroats.
Yes.
I told Jackie about that when I was like, man, long burned us.
So you told Jackie you had a spider like, bite of my dad.
You said it in public. I was trying to be diplomatic.
I think I met you on the podcast already, so it's out there. I had a spider bite of my dad.
And I like to give a shout out to Mikey for being the MVP. And I don't want to get into details about that. But
I think
knows
Mark
what
can
he's talking
climb
about.
On walls now.
No.
Can you climb on walls? No.
Nothing like that.
Worst spider
pretty
type
much.
Ever.
His poop comes out like webs.
I'm about to go. Up and away, web.
No. No, that's just... Now that we gave everybody that vision, let's move on to download this, where we tell people we watched, streamed, checked out, and our weekly recap of The Mandalorian in just a few minutes. So what did you guys check out this week?
I just played Final Fantasy 14 online. That's all I did.
No Mandalorian? I watched
that. Well, we talked about that in a minute.
I'll talk about that with y'all.
Oh, okay.
I saw that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I did get my wizard to being a black mage in Final Fantasy 14, so I can start throwing out explosions.
Such a fucking nerd.
Oh, nice. Versus like elemental? Did you start off elemental spells? Okay.
Nice. Well, go ahead, Matt. No one wants to hear.
I'm just kidding, man. I've done nothing but play. I play Star Wars Galaxies all the time. So yeah.
I played Soul Calibur 6 because it was free on the Xbox Game Pass. I've beaten it on hard and normal, and I'm trying to beat it on very hard to test myself, but I can only get halfway through on very hard because it is very hard.
What is it again, Matt?
Yeah.
Oh.
Very hard.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't get it.
And then long. Yeah, and then I decided that I wanted to watch all of Mandalorian season 1 and the first episode of season 2 leading up to today, which I know we'll get into that episode, but rewatching it was fun. My son, my third child, Joseph, he's 3 years old. He loves Baby Yoda now. At first, he didn't like his costume, but then he was Baby Yoda for Halloween, and now he just screams Baby Yoda, and like the whole house can hear him if the Mandalorian is on and he sees Baby Yoda, he just gets ecstatic. So he is quickly becoming a Star Wars fan. And then I think as far as movies, I watched Scream 4. And I watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark because it was on sale. I took advantage of some cheap Halloween movies that Voodoo had going on. And Jackie hadn't seen The Devil's Advocate, so I rented The Devil's Advocate, and we watched that. And that was it.
What did she think about Pacino's monologue?
Oh man, about the about which monologue?
The one where God is a landlord.
Oh yeah,
I barely.
He's good, man.
I barely remember so that good. Movie. I remember Charlize Theron naked. That's about it.
Yeah. Her and then the actress that played the sister in Gladiator, she gets completely naked, and yeah, so there's a lot of nudity in there. And then the forensic scientist from Law and Order SVU, she's in the film too. She gets topless as well. So there's great. a lot of boobs in that movie.
Speaking of Gladiator, voodoo.
Don't turn this podcast into a
voodoo.
Their skin
voodoo has a good sale this week, and I'm really tempted to buy Gladiator for $6 in Ultra HD. Because you've never seen Gladiator? Seen
that movie.
Like you've really never seen Gladiator?
But never.
No. Holy fuck, dude!
We have a watch party.
Like that's one of the best movies the last 25 years. Wow.
Well, I'm sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like some of the other ones you haven't seen, I'm not shocked, but that one's a shocker. Oh, for sure.
Monkeys.
I own the 4K one.
Yeah. I saw they had it on sale. And I think I'm going to bite the bullet and order it in 4K because I don't even have it on Blu-ray.
Nice.
So, you know. But wow. Slacking.
I'm sorry.
I mean, what were you doing in the year 2000 to have not seen that? I mean, that was a massive box office hit too. I remember I saw it with my parents in theaters.
What came out in 2000? I don't know.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was after 9/11. It was 2002.
Okay, that's right because they had to edit the Twin Towers out of it. Yep.
Yeah, Gladiator came out in 2000.
Yeah. That's such a great movie. Well, we need to remedy that. You need to see that film. But, yes.
Have y'all done that movie already? But, oh, we could revisit it again.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's such a good... I didn't watch much. I have one episode left of The Boys. I started episode 8, but I was tired to finish it. So I got about 40 minutes left in it. So I'm going to finish that hopefully this weekend. But other than that, Mandalorian season 2, episode 2 hit today. So beware, there might be spoilers here as we recap the Mandalorian every week. So it leaves off where we left off last week as the Mandalorian is looking for his kind, looking for more Mandalorians. And so he has given a lead to the planet Trask, but he has to escort this frog-like alien, a new alien introduced in the universe here, but he has to travel not light speed, and things kind of go wrong as he runs into some rebels in X-Wings, and it was kind of weird. I thought the rebel dialogue was... there was something... This episode's not as good as the season premiere, but it's still very good. But there was something off about it. Did y'all feel that? Like, the Rebel dialogue was, like, just awkward.
Hmm. Well, Dave Filoni was one of the Rebels.
Right.
He's not a trained actor.
Nice.
You know? I don't know the other guy. Right. I don't know if he's a trained actor either. Yeah,
This episode's directed by Peyton Reed, who did the Ant-Man films. So you could definitely tell... It's a more comedic episode, yes. But speaking of Baby Yoda, the child, he gets to shine in this episode. A lot of really funny moments. Kept trying to eat the eggs of the alien,
I felt a little, I don't know, off by that. I know they're infertile.
It's a little,
they were like
a little creepy. It's like, damn, you're eating these. Yeah. Possible live beans, but that had a cool scene to me. I like the whole jetpack thing and the fight with the bad guys.
Oh yeah.
And then what's funny is in episode 2 of season 1 his ship gets jacked up by the Jawas, now episode two of season two, he jacks up his own ship by trying to evade the rebels. And he can't fix it, so he has to fly off. He's basically clunking through space at the end of the episode. That was kind of like, he can't even keep his fucking thing together. His ship keeps fucking it up every season. I don't know, what did you guys overall think?
I liked it. Right. I didn't like it as much as the first episode. Yeah. I do appreciate the actions. You know, not as many Easter eggs as the first episode, which is fine. I think there was kind of a tease at the end of the thing about, you know, the blaster fire. You know? It's like, ooh, is that Boba Fett? You know? But no, it's not Boba Fett. So, the spider scene was cool. But, you know,
yeah, it did just enough to kind of move the story forward, but it also felt like some filler in this episode, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like that you did see some Rebel pilots. And man, as soon as they go into attack mode, you're like, ah, shit. And they're like, click over to channel two. And you're like, man, something's about to happen. And then they bring up the prison ship that he helped invade. I like that the frog showed some tech savviness and hacked into the droid that tried to kill Baby Yoda. Mandalorian. And I'm like, oh, crap. What the heck's going on? Why is he alive? Because, you know, they obviously forebode to something's going to happen with that Chathis that he kept, because they just make it a focal point in one of the scenes, and then all of a sudden he's talking. It kind of freaks you out. There's some cool things in there, but like you said, it's kind of a filler episode, and, you know, just does enough to kind of keep the wheels rolling and give you some decent action. With the you have the Leroy Jenkins kind of thing with the eggs hatching and the spiders coming at Din Djarin. It's a decent episode, not as cool as the first, but you know, I'm entertained.
I don't mind the weekly episode, but I wish we would get 30 second teasers. Like when you watch network television, they show you a preview for next week. I wish they would do that, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of do wish they would do that. You know, give us little trailers at the end. We'll see where they go. There's a lot of rumors already about this season. We've got some news later on about possible Boba Fett miniseries they're talking about doing. But overall, though, you know, it still continues to be a really great Star Wars show. And so many questions. Just want to know where they're going with it. So we'll see.
Yeah. But I do like the overall theme of this season, where the Mandalorian is on a quest this season instead of like a catch of the week, you know, bounty of the week structure like the first season.
That's true. It's a good point. So till next week, till we talk episode three. So let's get into today's feature film. An extremely popular movie for a few generations now. It's turned 35 years old this year and just got a 4K release. I have it on Blu-ray, the whole trilogy. And that is Back to the Future, 1985, starring Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, and directed by Robert Zemeckis. Who wants to summarize this film?
I'll do it. It's been a while. Basically, the story is set in 1985 at Twin Pines, at Hill Valley, California. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about the mall. And about Marty McFly, who inadvertently goes back in time to 1955. And his ordeal is trying to find his way back in 30 years, but before he can go back to the future, he has to fix his mistakes that would alter his timeline. So He spends part of the movie trying to correct his mistakes, while at the same time trying to go home and try to exist. And he manages to go back in time, back to the future, with the help of Doc Brown, played by Christopher Lloyd. That's my summary. How's that?
And good? Huey Lewis, yeah. Soundtrack.
Any cameos in the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. For me, A Long Generation, this is a movie trilogy that we were around when it came out and kind of grew up with it. And not that you're much older than the movie, Matt, so you kind of grew up with it too, but probably didn't get a chance to see it in theaters. But it's funny because this was a massive hit when it came out. It was the number one movie at theaters in 1985. It was not a planned trilogy. The to be continued at the end of the film was kind of a joke, but it ended up being so popular they made sequels to it. But this film is held by a very high regard by a lot of people, including Robert Zemeckis. Him and the producers have contracts that the films will never be remade, rebooted while they're alive. So kind of interesting. I like this film a lot too, but I don't hold it as high regard as some people. Like, I think it's entertaining, but like, I don't live and die by Back to the Future, you know? But rewatching it recently, it's still Christopher Lloyd's great in this movie. Like, he's one of the highlights of the film for sure. The car is very cool. Mm-hmm. The time machine DeLorean, which in fact put DeLoreans back on the map as far as people buying them because of this movie. I don't remember the first time I saw this. I mean, I just remember Back to the Future as always being there. Probably saw it in theaters when I was a kid, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think it has a very iconic movie poster as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, Drew Struzan. Definitely one of the... Yeah. Yeah, and it's like one of the best movie posters ever designed for a movie. And it still holds up today, you know. So photorealistic in a way. But yeah, Christopher Lloyd, very natural character actor. And I've known this movie, you know, beat by beat. And I just love imitating George McFly sometimes. And it's like, hey, you. Get your damn hands off. I realize he's staring at Death Incarnate.
Yeah.
Biff Tannen. And man, and friggin' Thomas Wilson playing Biff Tannen. He's such a natural bully.
Big time.
In that role. And I'm surprised. I felt like this movie typecasted him. But he's been showing up in some comedies lately. And yeah. And he does a lot of voice work, but yeah, Biff Tannen, man,
he's kind of a jerk in real life too, though.
You think so?
I've heard he it depends on his mood. Like when he does conventions, sometimes he's really, really nice, and there's other times where he's just really off-putting. Yeah. I've heard. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a fantastic painter. Yeah. I've seen his paintings, and he's such a talented painter. And I think that, at least from his co-workers, they've always had good things to say about him. I've never heard anything bad spoken about him as far as his co-workers, fans can be annoying.
Oh, he's probably nicer than Crispin Glover, because that guy is he had no idea for years that this film was a massive hit, because he's like that artist type that makes a movie and doesn't pay attention to it. He claims he's only seen the movie one time, and that was at the premiere. So you got to really be in a shell to not know that your movie was a massive hit.
Yeah. He's lying, man. He had to have been lying in that interview, because he tried to ask for like a ridiculous amount of money to come back for two and to come back for three. They offered both.
He does a lot of really bizarre films. He's kind of a weird, kind of strange actor. Yeah.
Willard, the movie with the rats.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Willard. Yeah.
But I think I saw three first before I saw this movie. Yeah, I think, and as a kid, I ended up liking three of the best. Just like my son saw three, and he thought three was the best. And now, as I'm older, I think number one is the best. Three is fun, but and they did a lot of work in three, like making that steam engine that flies. They made that. They had to make they had to construct it, and it's full size. So that was pretty impressive. They did a lot of cool stuff. Spent a lot of money on three, but I think number one is just you know, the coolest. I mean, the whole skateboarding, the rock and roll, and then, you know, we have Bob Gale's story to thank. You know, he was going through his dad's yearbooks and he saw that his dad was class president, and he was like, man, I wish I could have been there and maybe met my dad. I wonder how he was back in 1955. So this is where we got the story.
Oh, what's crazy though, it's like it went through something like what, 44 rewrites, because the studio didn't get it.
Yeah,
they weren't sure what they were trying to make. It's right. Spielberg had to like tell the studio to trust us, trust Zemeckis, because even Zemeckis wasn't a hugely known director yet, but Spielberg was. So he convinced the studio, like, let us make this film. They wanted to change the title to what, Pluto Man from Mars or something. Yeah, and Pluto Man because from they Mars. They thought no one would understand a movie with the word future in it.
Yeah, they thought it was dumb to go back to the future. Zemeckis had to make Romancing of the Stone first, then come back to Spielberg, and then Spielberg was, you know, helped him out, you know, and got on board and really pushed for this film to get made. And it took a lot of finagling by Michael J. Fox, getting only 5 hours of sleep between family time and filming this.
He was almost not even in the movie. They had cast, because they couldn't get him, so they cast Eric Stoltz. And they filmed like 3 weeks with Eric Stoltz, and but Stoltz wasn't getting along with anybody. Even Christopher Lloyd was like having trouble working with him, and they all agreed that it wasn't working. And luckily Fox was able to do the film.
Yeah, and Stoltz was like playing it as a
dramatic method actor. Yeah, it's hard to believe because now. You can't even imagine someone else playing Marty McFly. You know, it's an iconic role that I can't even think who would I even put in that role, or him or Christopher Lloyd's Doc Brown. They just classic characters from this film.
Yeah, this is Claudia Wells' only appearance in the trilogy. Of course, Elizabeth Shue comes and fills in for number two and three.
Did it? Wells was pregnant or something? Her mom was sick.
No, her mom had cancer. Her mom had sick, yeah, and she had to go take care of her mom. So that's why she couldn't come back.
And
it's cool. Like, you know, I start paying you watch this movie more and more. As you get older, you start realizing some things, and Marty really helps his dad come into his own. He talks his dad into putting his mind to you know what he wants to do and to move forward with his stories, and his dad's more successful to it. Talks to his dad about standing up for himself, even though it's a phony drill and it's supposed to be an act. George has to really. Make that happen whenever he finds out it's actually Biff in the car, and he just takes charge of his life and becomes that man that he needed to be. And even though Glover is kind of weird, it's I think it speaks to his acting that he had to play three different versions of himself. He had to play the person that got bullied in the beginning, person that's just trying to appease Biff. And then he's this kind of like nerdy, dorky, comedic, very comedic high school kid. And then he's got to play this confident, self-made version of himself whenever he, Marty comes back to the future. So I think I will speak to his performance. He did a good job doing that. Leah Thompson, good job having a crush on your son,
Yeah.
Happened to come to with that mentality and whatever that took, that approach that took, coming to the set. And Lloyd, Christopher Lloyd is just awesome in this film. Just great Scott. You know, I mean, my son, whenever he hears some cartoon say great Scott, and he knows the reference, cause mm-hmm. he's seen all three films. He's 10 years old. You know, I can tell he's on the right path right now cause he loves Back to the Future. He loves James Cameron films.
I remember watching the cartoon series when I was a kid.
On which one?
Back to the Future, the series.
There was a cartoon series?
Yeah, and I believe Bill Nye was on the science segments of that show.
Okay.
Yeah, just do a YouTube search on Back to the Future, the series. You'll find it. It's based after Part 3.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
but
you know, we could talk about. Let's talk about the car.
Oh, the car, man! Yeah. The DeLorean.
With your modern sensibilities, what do you think of the design of the DeLorean itself? Not without the doodads. What do you think of how the DMC-12 looks?
It is very 80s. I love the eagle wing doors that open up. Let's
go wing.
The vehicle was kind of a piece of crap when it came to staying together. Apparently, the body parts just had issues. It wasn't the engine.
Yeah.
Which I will say for a V6, getting up to 150 miles per hour was pretty impressive. Woo. At that time. Yeah, that was the top speed for that vehicle. Of course, Christopher Lloyd said he was just fine with it going 88 miles per hour because he was no fan of the speed. But it did move. For a V6... I think only Datsun and Nissan, you know, with their Z car, were able to pull out anything as impressive as that. But the DeLorean Motor Car Group definitely didn't disappoint in bringing us a vehicle that was stylish. As Christopher Lloyd's character says, you know, why not build a time machine with some style? And make it a DeLorean, and plus the DeLorean just fit the specs. It had, you know, it had the dimensions where they could put stuff on it and make it look like it was a time machine and give it that effect that they were looking to give it.
Yeah. Do you know the car itself? It had a 3-speed automatic.
Yeah.
3-speed automatic and a 5-speed manual. And it's 130 horsepower.
It's not bad. Yeah. Must admit, I need to look at the curb weight on
for that time.
Probably light.
The weight, you said?
Mm-hmm.
It's 2,718 pounds weight.
Okay, not horrible. A little heavy, but not super heavy.
Yeah. 153 pound torque. Not bad.
It's not bad for that time. Not really.
Yeah. But anyhow. The car is very iconic. And I've seen it pop up in certain movies. For sure, the cameo of that car was in the recent movie Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Benchwarmers.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy. Yeah. John Lovitz was driving around in the
DMC. I saw a fan version of it. When I went to Classic Game Fest a few years ago, they had a model DeLorean out there for the Back to the Future.
I actually saw a live DeLorean DMC-12 going down I-10 a couple of times. Nice. And I believe there is a local Houston company that builds custom DMC-12s from the spare parts that they got from the Irish factory that used to manufacture them.
Yeah, one thing I remember, too, I would have sworn when I was a kid that the movie said to be continued in theaters, but I guess they added the – according to what I was reading, they said they added it to be continued on the VHS copies. But I would have sworn it was in theaters, too, even though they didn't plan a sequel.
Yeah, they didn't plan it.
Dude, I do recall seeing, like, the early copies of VHS of Back to the Future that they had a teaser. you know. But it, the teaser wasn't anything that's, you know, it was original footage, nothing that
right.
was,
it took several years for the sequel to finally come out. You know, but I wouldn't talk too much about the sequels because chances are one day we'll do those on the show too. But I'm with Matthew. I think one is the best still. I do like three is a lot of fun, but when you go back and watch three, it's got some really bad dialogue in it and some just really cheesy moments. Two is a bit, a little bit all over the place, I guess is the word. But one is definitely the most focused masterpiece of the three. I had to explain to my son why it was called Back to the Future, because he's like, why is it called Back to the Future if it all takes place in the past? I'm like, because Marty's trying to get back to the future. He's like, oh, mind blown. I was like, yes.
Gave you the
villain head. What a jock. Well, he is. He's in football. So. No.
I mean, what else is there to say about this film? It's, I mean, it's such an iconic, huh?
Won an Oscar.
Yeah. Won an Oscar, man. It's an iconic film. I mean, you know, Huey Lewis, as you mentioned, provides some music and even has a cameo in it. Even though Eric Stoltz was cut from the film, you can see his hand in the movie and the side of his head still. And one of the DeLorean scenes, he's actually driving the DeLorean. So he's not completely cut from the film, even though Michael J. Fox came in and took over for him. Anyway, interesting thing about Stoltz, as he was such a method actor, that Christopher Lloyd, when they said, "Where's Eric?" he goes, "Who's Eric?" he actually thought his name was Marty. And Christopher Lloyd, I know we long with teasing me about Buckaroo Banzai, but Christopher Lloyd got this film because of Buckaroo Banzai, because the same producer, one of the producers on the project besides Steven Spielberg, was a producer on Buckaroo Banzai, also produced this film. I can't remember the guy's name, and he suggested the film to Christopher Lloyd, who initially turned it down. He didn't really. He's like, no, but then his wife, Christopher Lloyd's wife, actually convinced him to take the film. So it worked out for the best because he. I can't imagine anyone else as Doc Brown.
Yes, Mark. I know you want me to check out Buckaroo Banzai.
You never seen that either.
Take a hint.
If someone,
one of these days, I'll check it out.
If someone had to be Doc Brown, I think John.
Lithgow sure. Lithgow. Back then.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, the great value,
like,
you know, version.
But like, if you were to remake Back to the Future, who would you do it with? You know, I know everyone was throwing around Tom Holland's name, but you know, I mean, it's just like,
no,
not
Tom. No, not Chris Pratt.
No, he's too old. No,
not Pratt. Yes.
Is he though?
Why don't they just do a sequel? You know, not a remake, right. Not a reboot. Just, you know, with modern technology.
Well, I think Michael J. Fox's health is a concern. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be about his kids,
you know, like a legacy sequel.
No.
Yeah.
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 Elizabeth Shue still kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you just leave it. Just leave it alone. And
anyways, A+. That's my score. A+.
A+ for sure. This is a movie that you watch at least once a year, if possible. You show it to your kids. You hype the shit out of it to your kids so that they pass it on, and it just keeps getting passed on.
Did we mention, though, as we get older, though, the stuff with his mom is a little bit creepy? It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the elephant.
But even that film.
Well, he's in his own. She calls him Calvin because of his underwear and stuff. It's a little creepy.
Zemeckis, he went to Disney first, before he went to Spielberg. And Disney, because of the stuff with the mom and the son, and having a thing for her son, they didn't want anything to do with it because it was Disney.
Yeah. But, you know, but yeah, A+, I agree with you guys on that. Like I said, I do enjoy the Back to the Future films. I just, maybe, I don't know why, I just don't hold them as high as regard as other people do, but I still enjoy them a lot. You know, yeah.
They're fun, man. Everything.
Yeah, about it. There's a few other trilogies out there I'd put above this trilogy. You know,
the Star Wars reference.
I am Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan. I am going to play Van Halen for you until you agree to get it on with my.
And on that note, let's get into our weekly top five. I'm surprised we haven't done this one, but our weekly top five this week is top five movie vehicles. It just seems like a no-brainer that we didn't do this, but I guess we haven't been doing the weekly top five that long to have done this. But so you know what? I'd never kick it off. I always seem to go last. I'm going to kick it off this week, I do have one honorable mention, and that is the Bandit's Pontiac. I did not put that on my list, but for me growing up watching Smokey the Bandit, always wanted to have a Pontiac Firebird like he did, you know? So that's my honorable mention. But at number five, I do have the DeLorean from this movie. It's obviously an iconic car with the time machine in it. There's been Hot Wheels and replicas made, toys. Everyone knows the DeLorean when they see it. They know what movie it's from. And that's what I have at number five.
Well, my number five is Benny from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I mean, that's a technical achievement on its own. It has tons of character. Hey, it's a car.
It's a bit of a push, but okay.
I thought about these oddball vehicles too. Like, I feel like Roger Rabbit is. You wouldn't really think about it, but hey, that's a cool vehicle because it's a cartoon. You never have to fix it.
Right. What's your number five,
Matt? My number five, I have the Ford Falcon GT from Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. I just always thought it was awesome how he would engage the extra turbo on his Pontiac. Or not Pontiac. Sorry, I'm thinking of Trans Am. On the Falcon. They sometimes use Trans Ams to replicate this vehicle because Ford Falcons are just super hard to find. But the Ford Falcon GT, man, made it a very iconic car, and there just wasn't a whole lot of it to go around with. So, going with
that. At number four, the Ecto-1 for Ghostbusters. A car that maybe didn't get to shine in the movies, but it's still become classic. And one thing I did like about the trailer from the new one is that we got to see the car in action, so I'm hoping we get to see more. But, you know, everybody knows the Ecto-1 when you see it. So it's my number four pick.
Nice. Well, my number four pick is the Interceptor from Mad Max. It's a kick-ass car. And it had a little cameo in Fury Road. And definitely changed the game as far as car chase movies. And that's my number four, Mad Max Interceptor. What's your number four, Matt?
Number four, I have Keaton's Batmobile. I always liked Keaton's Batmobile because those were the toys that I first owned. And then in Batman Returns, the cool staggered steel plate armor that it gains whenever he puts it in park. I always thought that was cool. So I've got Keaton's Batmobile, number four.
Nice. My number three is Mad Max's Interceptor, which you both already picked, so it's just badass. You already said a lot about it, but that's my number three is Mad Max's Interceptor.
My number three is the DeLorean. We've already talked about it, Lenny. What's your number three, Matt?
My number three is Mark's number five, the 1977.
It was my honorable mention.
Smokey and the Bandit. That was your honorable mention? Okay.
Yeah.
It's so fast, and my cousin had the remake. The last year they tried to make a Pontiac Trans Am, and that thing moves. I'm all for fast car. It's my number three.
What's your number two, Mark?
The James Bond's Aston Martin. The original from Goldfinger. I mean, you identify James Bond, you identify him with Aston Martin, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more next week as we're doing a Bond film. I just might have gave away a hint there. But, you know, it's iconic. I mean, we'll talk a little more Bond here in a little bit when we talk about Sean Connery. But James Bond, Aston Martin go hand in hand.
Well, funny you should mention that, because my favorite vehicle was actually the Lotus from The Spy Who Loved Me. I thought, well, that was the coolest Bond vehicle because it could turn into a little submersible.
Oh, yeah.
And have rocket launchers. So, yeah. My number two is the Lotus, the White Lotus from The Spy Who Loved Me.
Nice.
Go ahead, Matt.
Mine is the 1982 DMC DeLorean that we just talked about today, for obvious reasons. I mean, it's a time machine. It's a fast, slick car. Why not?
What's your number one?
My number
Mark?
One.
I wonder what it is.
The Batmobile.
Oh, what could it be?
Yeah.
Well, if I had to pick
one,
I would say the Adam West one. It was, which was technically wasn't a film because they had Batman the movie, but it's the car that made me fall in love with Batman. And when we do Batman film, we might do top five Batmobiles. But overall, the Batmobile is my favorite movie car to ever be on screen. I like Batmobile and the Keaton Batmobile.
Okay. Well, kind of cheating, but. Got to pick one.
Adam West Batmobile for the
89 or okay.
Okay, classic.
All right, my number one is actually kind of a more niche than what y'all probably might have thought of, but my number one is actually the white Dodge Challenger from Death Proof.
Nice.
One of the most harrowing car chase scenes I've ever watched, and it's. Still, to me, holds up as far as edge of your seat action. You know, with the stunt woman still holding on to her dear life on that car, and then, yeah, fantastic vehicle. I want one someday, but nice, I don't know, not very reliable. So my number one is the Dodge Challenger from Death Proof.
Good pick.
Thank you.
My number one, and I'm pretty sure both of y'all probably would not. Have thought anything else of me to pick, but
you're so predictable.
Gone in 60 seconds.
But that car's not, it's in the movie for like three minutes.
Doesn't matter, it's a movie car.
Wait a minute, why don't you go with the Bullet Mustang then? Isn't that the same thing?
But there's no way it's more iconic than any of the other vehicles.
You are talking about a 289. CC versus a.
But we're talking about iconic as far as films. No one remembers that car except for you.
Nicolas Cage remembers it, sir. And he was iconic.
Nicolas Cage and Matt remembers it.
Go, baby, go.
That's all right. Matt, it's a Shelby Mustang, isn't it?
It's
a Cobra.
1968. Shelby KR500.
Failed the top five.
Oh, I see.
Whatever. That is an awesome job.
Well, mine was pretty niche, I think.
You know.
I don't know. The Death Proof Challenger. People don't really talk about it much, but I love that car chasing.
Yeah. Oh. That's a good thing.
Anyways, let's do some news. There's not a whole lot. But there is a lot to talk about, though, with as we lost Sean Connery this week. He was 90 years old. The original 007. You know, a role that took him a long time to embrace. You know, he was glad he did it, but he didn't like to talk about it. Very similar to how Harrison Ford was with Han Solo. It took Harrison years to open up to talking about Star Wars. But, of course, him and Sean Connery made Indiana Jones The Last Crusade together. but one of our greatest actors and one that will be missed, but man, he left a hell of a body of work. Do you guys have any favorite Sean Connery roles?
I'm torn between, besides Bond, torn between Captain Ramius from Hunt for Red October and Dr. Jones from The Last Crusade. So many good roles too. But I wasn't really a big fan of those Highlander roles, because I didn't really watch it all the way through with the first two Highlander.
It is.
I heard the second one was terrible. But what else is he good? Dragonheart.
The Untouchables.
A bit different.
The Rock is awesome.
The Untouchables. Yeah. The Rock. What else has he been in?
Presidio. He was good at that.
I never watched that movie. Have you?
Mostly known for Bond and the winning the Oscar for The Untouchables. He wanted to come back. He retired from acting, but he was willing to come out of retirement to do an Indiana Jones sequel. But for some reason, they wrote him out of Crystal Skull instead of writing him into it. And he talked about that. He was disappointed that he was not asked to come back. He said that was the one role that would have brought him out of retirement would have been Indiana Jones. And that's the thing. I love Raiders of the Lost Ark, but I like the moments in Last Crusade with him and his son with Indiana. Some of the best moments of the series. Because he delivers that role with such a calming, father-like dignity. Yeah. He's so good at it. My favorite Bond movie with him is probably From Russia with Love. I mean, I know Goldfinger and Dr. No are iconic, but if you really want to be honest, From Russia with Love is the best of the Connery Bond films. Like, it has a really good story. It's really well done. It just doesn't have the iconic moments like Goldfinger does with, I wish you you're going to die, Dr. Whatever he says, Mr. Bond. I couldn't remember the exact line, but
do you expect me to talk, Goldfinger? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
And Connery was definitely a member of the swinging 60s. He was known to talk about women in certain ways, and he felt no problem playing Bond. But later in his life, he corrected that and said he realized, hey, it was different times, and he apologized for it, as he got more open to talking about that kind of stuff. But he has a great legacy. We have a lot of great films to watch. And
hey, don't forget Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
That was it.
Breakout role. He was singing, Sean Connery in a musical.
Really?
And he.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was Peter Jackson's first choice to play Gandalf. But Sean Connery didn't understand what Lord of the Rings was. He was like, I didn't understand it, so he turned it down. And he talked about it a few years later, like, yeah, maybe I should have done it, but he felt Ian McKellen did a good job, so.
Yeah. Well, I heard that in the last couple of years, he's developed some dementia or bit of Alzheimer's.
His wife's.
So, and the times that he said he didn't understand the script could be little, small symptoms of his dementia or something. So that could be part of it too.
But Sean Connery, 90 years old. So, he'll be missed. Like I said, not a lot of news. We got a trailer this week for the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. Hopefully it's better than the 1978 version. It'll be on Disney Plus next week, or no, not next week, November 17th, so just before Thanksgiving. And then a lot of rumors this week that Disney Plus plans on filming a secretive but not secretive Boba Fett miniseries with Tamara Morrison, like 5 or 6 episodes to maybe show where Boba Fett's been, I guess. Rumor is that could be a prequel to The Mandalorian. No truth to this, just rumor right now, but we'll see. Could be interesting. I mean, remember a couple years ago they were going to do a Boba Fett series or a movie, and it never happened. So, you know, the idea has been out there for a while.
Yeah, there's also a rumor that they're courting Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford again to reprise their roles in some capacity for Disney Plus. So that's in the rumor mill.
We'll see. But yeah, that's it. That's all the news I got. It was kind of a... I was looking for news earlier. I'm like, man, did nothing happen this week? There's been a lot of movies going to production. Yeah, probably so.
Probably because Spider-Man 3
started production.
Sure.
And Tom Holland put out a funny picture of him in the Spider-Man outfit with a mask on over his mask. You know, so he was having some fun with that. Stranger Things started production back up so they can finish season 4. So there has been some news like that this week, but that's about it. But so let's preview next week's film, as we are going to do a James Bond film. Not a Sean Connery one, as we are again, Sarah going to celebrate 15 years since Daniel Craig took over the role in Casino Royale.
Your file shows no kills. But to become a 00, it takes two. How did you die? Your contact? Not well.
You needn't worry.
The second is... Yes. Considerably.
The man was Le Chiffre, private banker to the world's terrorists. Which would explain how he could set up a high-stakes poker game at Casino Royale in Montenegro. If he loses this game, he'll have nowhere to run. You're the best player in the service.
The Treasury has agreed to stake you in the game. But if you lose, our government will have directly financed terrorism. I will be keeping my eye on our government's money and off your perfectly formed house.
You noticed. I hope our little game isn't causing you to perspire.
It doesn't bother you, killing those people.
Well, I wouldn't be very good at my job if it did. Has our girl melted your cold heart yet?
James, get the girl out.
You're not going to let me in there. You've got your armor back on.
I have no armor left. You've stripped it from me. Whatever is left of me. Whatever I am. I'm yours.
The only question remains. Will you yield? In time?
We're expecting to be able to watch No Time to Die around this time, but obviously movies continue to get pushed back. So we'll just watch a James Bond film anyway. We'll look back on the reboot of the Bond series with 2005's Casino Royale, a really good Bond film.
Yeah, I think it was. I hadn't watched anything since Tomorrow Never Dies. I don't think I saw the last.
That was the last Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan. Yeah.
Maybe it was The World's Not Enough that was the last one.
No, yeah, Mark. No.
Or Die Another Day. That's right.
Die
that's
Another Day was the last Brosnan. Yeah. Okay.
And
that was a weird one.
Yeah. Was that the one where the dude?
No, that's The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just watching Craig, I was like, man, this is about as good as GoldenEye or better for me. And, you know, I grew up with GoldenEye and everything that came up out of that, but Casino Royale is going to be so fun to talk about.
So it'll be a good one next week as we look back on that. That's it. That's all we got this week then. As always, thank you for listening. Go to RoboRadioPodcast.com. Join our Patreon if you want. The October Patreon is out featuring Resident Evil. Don't know what November is going to be yet, but we will decide soon. But, you know, we got a lot of good movies coming up for the rest of the year. So we appreciate you supporting us as the show's doing really well lately. So it's been fun. That's all. As always, this is Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is
until
long,
next week.
Time travel off.
Thank you for listening. Remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Butthead.
Do it.